From WYPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Caring for patients with memory loss or dementia can be challenging for even the most attentive, well-meaning caregiver. We hear from Bertina Hanna, head of a caregiving team that uses Memory Well, a new online resource where journalists compile the life story of patients in memory care to help improve the quality of their care by personalizing it. We also meet Jay Newton Small, Memory Well CEO. She started the business after seeing how sharing her dad's story improved the care he got.
If somebody's getting very angry and agitated and you know nothing about them, it's incredibly hard to reason with them, right? But if someone's getting very agitated and you know their whole life story, it's much more easy to calm them down.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. Long-term caregivers have a demanding task. They're expected to provide personal care to patients who essentially are strangers to them as they begin their charge. Add memory loss or dementia to that picture, and it can be even more challenging to administer care with a personal connection. It's also a worry for the family. Today, we'll meet a journalist and entrepreneur who hopes to improve the quality of life and care for seniors in long-term care with an online service called Memory Well. In it, journalists tell the stories of those who can't tell their own. Later in the show, we'll meet a caregiver who uses Memory Well to discuss how it's affected the care she and her team provide their residents. Joining us now is Jay Newton Small, a journalist who is co-founder and CEO of Memory Well. Before launching the business last November, she spent a decade as Time Magazine's political correspondent and has also been a journalist for Bloomberg News. Welcome to On the Record, Jay.
Sheila, thanks so much for having me on.
Tell us how and why you started Memory Well.
So Memory Well began really as a project with my dad. About 4 years ago, I had to move him into a home. I was his primary caregiver. My mother, like 40% of those who care for those living with Alzheimer's and dementia, actually passed away 10 years after his diagnosis because the stress was too great for her. She had a stress-induced brain aneurysm, and she just literally dropped dead in the middle of giving a dinner party. So just to back up a little bit, he was diagnosed when he was 58, and I was a senior in college. So he was relatively young, and I was certainly very young. And my mother died 10 years later, and I became his primary caregiver. I was an only child. And a few years back, I had to move him into a community. I tried, but I couldn't take care of him myself. And
that was here in Maryland, right?
Yeah, it was actually in Sykesville, Maryland, so about 50 miles north of Washington, D.C., and he was getting very aggressive, which happens to about 20% of those living with Alzheimer's and dementia, and has nothing to do with their personalities. You know, my dad was like the sweetest man alive. He was this Australian happy-go-lucky surfer, and but he became this like rage monster later on, and that was part of, you know, just the disease and the illness. And so I had to move him into a community, and when I did, they asked me to fill out this like 20-page questionnaire about his life. And I was sitting there writing down these answers thinking, A, no one's ever going to be able to read my handwriting. I have terrible handwriting as a writer. I know that. And then B, the questions were actually incredibly hard. I mean, I am also, as I said, I'm a writer. How do I define my parents' 50-plus year marriage in 5 lines? And then C, who was ever going to read 20 pages of handwritten data points for the 150 residents that were in this particular community? And so, and sure enough, in the years since, I saw those questionnaires just sort of sitting in binders, gathering dust. No one ever looked at them. And so I handed in the questionnaire blank, and I was like, look, you know, I'm a journalist, and I think it might just be easier for me and for you if you just let me write down a story. It's what I do. And the home was like, okay, you're weird, but sure. And I wrote down a story, and they absolutely loved it. It really transformed his care. So two of his caregivers were Ethiopian, and they'd had no idea that my dad had actually lived in Ethiopia for years early on in his career with the United Nations doing development work. And they became his champions. They would sit for hours and show him photos, their own personal family photos of like Addis Ababa and Lalibela and all these areas of Ethiopia. And my dad loved loved it because he might not remember anything from last week, but he remembered his early 20s, you know, living in Africa. And so it really created bonds between them. And that's how Memory Well started.
The kinds of information that you included in that story about your father, did they parallel the kinds of questions that 20-page questionnaire asked? I mean, was it the same type of information that you as a journalist were just able to present differently?
Absolutely. So, for example, on that questionnaire, they asked what were his parents' names? What did his parents do? Where was he from? What are his favorite hobbies? What sports did he play? Any pets' names or children's names? Greatest life accomplishments? I mean, all of these questions were answered in my story. What was his marriage like to my mom? How did he meet my mother? So the questionnaire is not fully replaceable by the story. I think a lot of communities have a semi-medical part to those questionnaires as required when they are working with Medicaid, for example. We obviously are not going to be able to fill out the like medical sort of, you know, what's his heart rate, what's his weight, those kinds of things. But our interviews can very easily and really succinctly replace those questionnaires. And so most homes say that those questionnaires take families 2 to 3 months to fill out. And it's really important that they get that information as soon as possible because the hardest transition is the first one when they first come into the home and into that community. And having that information there it makes it so much easier for them to transition. So we can turn our stories around very quickly within a couple of days. And so that really helps fill that gap. And then also the information is just so much more digestible. So I don't know if you realize it, but caregiving there's a huge sort of shortage of caregivers right now in the United States. We're short 1.3 million caregivers.
A lot of burnout.
Yeah.
It's a hard job.
Yeah.
People don't last long in some situations.
Exactly. I mean, most communities experience on average 55% annual turnover in staff, which is just a huge amount of churn. And it makes it incredibly difficult for people like my dad, who couldn't verbalize in the last few years of his life very well, to constantly introduce themselves to new people and constantly meet new people and try to, you know, form bonds with them, understand them, and it makes it very difficult. So these stories we've seen and studies have shown build empathy and really make these people's jobs a lot better in the sense that, you know, it's a miserable job taking somebody to the bathroom 5 times a day, you know, feeding them, bathing them. If you can't really interact with them, you don't really know who they are. It's worse when they're like my dad and they start to punch and bite you. But if you can understand them, if you can relate to them and draw them out and be able to know their story and then also help redirect them. Like, so my dad, for example, when he got very angry, first of all, he was very angry when people would touch him. He didn't like being touched and especially did not like to be bathed, and he was incontinent. And so the caregivers would, if he didn't know them, he would freak out. And what the stories did is it gave caregivers this sort of whole toolbox of things that they could calm him down with. So not only could they say, hey, Graham, you know, your daughter, Jay, she's going to be coming soon. We need to get you cleaned up so you can look great for her. Your mom, Cecily, might be coming as well. So, and, you know, it was names that he knew, and they were so familiar with his past that he would get chagrined, that he almost embarrassed, like, oh, I should know this person. And he became much more compliant because he was, you know, he felt like, oh, well, they clearly know what they're doing, and I'm probably wrong because I know I've got problems with my memory. And or our digital versions, it allows people to play music, and so they would play him certain music, and that would calm him down. Or they would talk about, you know, kangaroos from his childhood because he was, like I said, Australian. So it really just helped completely distract him and redirect him whenever he was getting very angry.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Jay Newton Small about Memory Well, an online service where journalists tell the stories of those who can't tell their own. Back up for me. Take a step by step. Who creates the stories? How are they created?
When a home comes to us, like the Residences of Thomas Circle, whom we're working with in Washington, D.C., or St. Paul's House in Chicago, whom we're also working with, they can give us the residents' names, and they put us in touch with the family. Or families can sign up directly on our website, which is just memorywell.com. Then once we get the family information, we send them a list of 9 questions. We ask them not to write anything down because we know that freaks them out. But then we ask them also for 5 to 10 photographs, just ranging in decades from when they were children to current to modern day. And that really forces them to curate the process and sort of says, okay, here are the things we want to focus on. That process of getting the photos takes the longest because families really want to find the right photos. And a lot of them don't know how to digitize. We walk them through how to digitize the photos, or they can mail them to us and we'll scan them and mail them back. Once we get the photos, it's actually very quick. We arrange an interview with one of our journalists. It's usually by phone unless there's reasons why, like hearing impairment, you would do it in person. And then the interview lasts about an hour. They go through the photos, they go through the 9 questions, and within a couple hours after that, we can turn the story around.
And briefly, you mentioned digital. How do the staff at a home access the profile that you've written?
You can digest our stories in 2 different ways. The caregivers can. One of them is that all of our stories are printable so that you can print them out and put them in care plans, or you can laminate them and put them up on walls. And that way, whomever's in the area can read about them. And I love the idea of families being able to read about each other and reading about the other people in the communities, because it really helps build community and build connections and relations and have people engage with each other, because otherwise these places can be very isolating. We also have digital versions. Those are really cool because family members can also upload their loved one's favorite music and arts and videos and readings. And that way, whomever's sitting with them can play their favorite music or play favorite movie clips and sort of really have a whole toolbox of things with which to engage them.
That's Jay Newton Small, the founder of Memory Well. We're going to take a quick break here. When we get back, we'll talk to a caregiver who has used the service.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about a new way to give those who care for people with dementia deeper insight into their lives. We've been speaking with Jay Newton Small, a journalist who started a business called Memory Well. And now we meet Bertina Hanna, activities manager at the Residence at Thomas Circle, which is a Meridian senior living community in Washington, D.C. She's involved in piloting Memory Well with memory care residents there. Welcome, Bertina.
Thank you.
What are some of the challenges, Bertina, when working with memory care residents?
Once they move into our communities, getting to know them as a staff member or a caregiver, if you will, not knowing the resident, not knowing their actions, not knowing it's like the unknown, not knowing what to expect.
What difference does Memory Well make in the way your team works with residents?
So Memory Well has given us an opportunity to get to know the resident, to get to know who they were, to get to know their family, to connect with the resident, to know their history, and to relate, to be able to relate to the resident. Because there might be something that the resident had experienced in the past, or something that someplace the resident has visited, or something the resident did in terms of career that we could bring back now to kind of make their present life more rewarding.
Can you give me an example?
Okay, so one of the things that we have, most of our staff, we carry notebooks, iPads, and we can pull Memory Well up and it can take the iPad, and if the resident is not having a good day, not having the best day, what we can do is go into the Memory Well and pull up a memory. And for my particular resident, Charles, he absolutely positively loves the song Moon River. And his wife, his spouse, is there all the time. And there are some days where she can't be there, or she might have to leave early. So a lot of times, something that is great to do is to pull up Moon River. And we can either sing that to him or allow him to see it, the actual video, or sing along with him. And it makes such a difference. It does. It makes such a difference.
So your team actually may sing. That may be one way that you bring this to life.
Yes, I'm not one to sing, but I do have a team member. She sings all the time, and this is nothing to her. That's like a natural for her.
Jay, how does a place like Meridian Senior Living come to use the Memory Well service?
My father actually passed away at the residences of Thomas Circle. That was his last place where he was in hospice for the last weeks of his life. So I first encountered Meridian, the residences of Thomas Circle, through my dad. And then subsequently, they hosted an evening with Aging 2.0, which is sort of a local D.C. Well, there are different chapters. There's actually one here in Baltimore, too. But it's a group of that goes city by city and gathers people who are interested in aging and in technology and how technology can improve aging. So the residences of Thomas Circle had a gathering that for Aging 2.0 where a lot of people came and we interacted, and I reconnected with some of their staff then, and we started talking, and basically that's how that led to us piloting with them.
It strikes me that a service like this is something that a fairly high level home might build into its offerings to its residents, probably not a home that is primarily funded by Medicaid residents, for example. I mean, in other words, I'm trying to raise sort of the equity question. Mm-hmm. It's your business right now to get a business started, but what are your thoughts about how widespread this could be and whether this kind of support for caregivers and families could reach more than relatively affluent families?
It is certainly our hope that we can do it for as many people as possible, and we try to keep our costs and our expenses as low as possible so we can do stories for everybody. But obviously, it can be prohibitively expensive. A regular story can cost $450, and that's if you just buy it online. We do discounts for homes when people buy in bulk, but we still have to pay our journalists, and so it is a certain amount of expense. What we are doing to correct that is a couple of things. We're embarking on studies with the Ray Dolby Brain Health Institute in California, and we're actually just won an MIT Brain Health Solve Challenge Award that will hopefully help us pay for studies, another study in Massachusetts. So we're trying to do two different studies that will show what we believe to be the truth, and it hasn't been proven, but we believe that life storytelling can really help residents so much who are very agitated that it would reduce the amount of antipsychotic drugs needed for residents. So, for example, when my dad got incredibly agitated, they used to dope him up on a lot of Seroquel, which is very common for those living with Alzheimer's and dementia. So the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid are trying to make a big push to stop that practice of sort of doping people up on Seroquel too much. And we very much believe that these stories can have a huge impact on that, because just knowing their story, being able to redirect them. So if somebody's getting very angry and agitated and you know nothing about them, it's incredibly hard to reason with them, right? But if someone's getting very agitated and you know their whole life story, well, it's much more easy to calm them down and to redirect them into some things. So if we can prove that life storytelling has an impact on the amount of prescription drugs used in these facilities, then CMS will pay for us. And that is a way for everybody in Medicaid and everybody to benefit from this life storytelling.
This is very interesting. I really appreciate your telling us about it. Bertina, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Jay, thank you.
Thank you.
Jay Newton Small is co-founder and CEO of MemoryWell, an online service in which journalists create the stories of those who cannot tell their own. Bertina Hanna is activities manager at the Residence at Thomas Circle in Washington. It's a Meridian senior living community. We have a link to MemoryWell at the On the Record page at WYPR.org.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.